the Director of Defense Studies at the Center for the National Interest, Harry Kazianis, is here. Good morning, Harry.
Hey, good morning, Pat.
I'm trying to figure out exactly how concerned we should be about which thing about Russia, because it's a giant umbrella, Harry, and more things keep coming up. Of course, most recently, the bombing of Syria with regard to the chemical weapons there, and Russia is not very happy about what the U.S. and the U.K. and France did in that regard, and now we have word that the United States and the U.K. are saying, beware, 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 the Russian hackers are a problem that should be at the top of everybody's thought process. What do you say?
Well, Pat, I think we're back in another Cold War, albeit not on the scale and size of the last one, going from, you know, the late 1940s until the late 1980s. But it is still pretty concerning. The challenge is we have so many different areas of contention between Washington and Moscow, you know, whether it's the Baltics, whether it's Ukraine, whether it's Syria, whether it's cyber problems, whether it's sanctions. I mean, you can just keep piling on the list over and over and over.
Yeah.
The good news is, if anything, is that this Russia is not the Soviet Union. Their economy is a lot smaller. Their military is a lot smaller. And to be quite honest, if it was a full-out, you know, Cold War, we would do the same thing we did back in the last Cold War, which is contain them. And that's what brought down the Soviet Union the last time. So I think Moscow's got to be a little careful here, because the balance of forces is against them.
It seems, Harry, that this latest salvo, if you will, and as we're talking this morning about hacking, I'm not sure how long ago, a year, 2 years, 3 years, where the conversation started about the thing to be wary about in the coming years will be the cyber attacks and the cyber wars, as opposed to, you know, on the ground, man-to-man combat or man-to-woman combat. And so this certainly seems to be absolutely true.
Yeah, I mean, the wars of the future, I think, Pat, are going to start in cyberspace and sort of trickle into our daily lives, you know, in lots of different ways. I mean, if, you know, America and Russia were to enter in some sort of, you know, really deep-rooted Cold War, even a war in general, let's hope that never happens, but Russia would launch its first strikes, if you will, in cyberspace. The Russians would probably start trying to attack our banking infrastructure, to try to attack Wall Street, and to actually attack the servers and hardware that make all those connections happen. Because just think about our daily lives. I mean, you know, us talking on cell phones or just regular old landlines or computers, it's all controlled by routers and servers. If the Russians start taking that stuff down, that is the physical infrastructure that makes our whole world work.
Well, it's not like we have to imagine it, Harry. We did have the 2016 election, which, you know, by and large was hacked in some regards, and it seems that the Russians' capabilities of doing so continues to be strong, regardless
right.
of what we know about that.
And that's the challenge. I mean, they've been working on, you know, trying to develop their cyber capabilities for a decade plus now, because they realize, you know, in a one-to-one matchup against the United States, they're going to get crushed. Our military is many, many times bigger than ours. So they're looking for sort of asymmetric ways to gain an advantage, not just in the battlefield, but just in the just trying to influence sort of world opinion, you know, whether it's using, you know, hundreds of thousands or maybe millions of bots on Twitter, or trying to you know, mess with our elections, maybe even this year trying to mess with our elections. The Russians have found a way to sort of even the playing field, and the best way to do that is cyber.
And one of the challenges for most of us, I think, in America and maybe other countries too, is we notice, we pay attention to things like the chemical attack in Syria, and we understand the importance of all that. And yet, when it comes to other countries and their impact on us, the U.S., we sometimes don't pay, well, we often don't pay enough attention. But in this kind of scenario, you are describing one of the exact reasons why we ought to care, because we're talking about everyone's everyday life here.
Yeah, I mean, we really do need to pay attention to cyber threats and, you know, them emanating out of Russia, because I mean, just think of the last 20 years. I mean, I'm 38 years old. My life in just 20 years has completely transformed from being, you know, a paper sort of environment to where my whole world revolves around the internet and social media and just being connected to colleagues and friends. If, you know, if there was ever a conflict with Russia or China or anybody else, imagine that world just disappearing, even just for a few days. There'd be total pandemonium. So countries like Russia and others who might not be able to scale up to us in the battlefield, you know, tank for tank, ship for ship, they're looking at cyber as being sort of that ultimate doomsday weapon. And they're working on things that would be very effective. So it's something we have to keep in mind, not to be crazed over, but to keep it in mind.
Well, one of the things, Harry, we're here in Sonoma County, and we suffered through the wildfires of October when we all experienced what happens when cell phones go down, cell towers go down, and alerts cannot be distributed and things like that. It was a very serious wake-up call for a lot of us. But when it gets down to the real nitty-gritty, okay, you're an electronics guy. You're a paperless guy. Have you been willing to give up Facebook or alter your presence on Facebook after the most recent revelations about hacking and how your information is being used?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Not that much, to be honest with
you. That's what I'm thinking.
The one thing I have done, and I would stress to people, is in many respects, we can all be targets, not from just Russia or China, but just your own sort of cyber profile. Make sure that you have very detailed passwords with numbers and letters. You know, don't make it 1234 your birthday. Think very common sense in terms of how you protect yourself, because, you know, a lot of non-state actors and people are out there that are bad guys, you know, online gangs. They love to hack into people's personal information. And what they'll do is they'll do a little research on you, figure out who your family and friends are, and try to mimic them with emails and try to spoof their identity.
Yeah, that's happening all the time, yeah.
Yeah. So not just like government to government. This is a global problem for everybody because it's so easy to figure out personal information and take advantage of it.
How often do we need to change those passwords, Harry?
You know, I like to change mine, to be honest with you, every week or two.
Wow.
I think it's so important because we leave fingerprints all over the place of our digital world. I mean,
how do you remember them all? How do you remember?
You got to go old school. You got to write them down.
Got to go old school.
I'll write them down and just stick them in my wallet and I'll just change them every week. Because just think about it. You know, you log into Facebook or Twitter or Instagram from a friend's computer, or maybe you do it on a you know, an airline terminal somewhere. I mean, there's a footprint of this stuff. You never know if it's going to be completely disappeared. And it's so easy to figure it out. So it's better to be safe than sorry.
All right. I'm getting that little tiny notepad back out and starting to write down some new numbers. Harry, thanks so much for being here. Appreciate the conversation.
Thanks for having me.
That is Harry Kazianis, I should say. He is the Director of Defense Studies at the Center for National Interest.